Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Network. Appreciate you waking up with us and starting your week here. Coming up, we'll get you updated on Sunday Night Football and the clash between the Lions and the Chiefs in Kansas City and Game 1 of the ALCS last night in Toronto. In 20 minutes, we get two Monday Night Football games to talk about on the schedule, including the sides, the totals, and the props that we like. And finally, our best bets come your way at 8:40. I'm Michael Jenkins. She is Chelsea Messenger. Welcome to our audience on Stadium. We always stream our final hour, and you can do so by downloading the Bally Sports Live app or going to ballysportslive.com. Also streaming our final hour on X as well. And we have a ton to get to in this hour. So let's start in Kansas City. The Chiefs downing the Lions 30-17 last night at Arrowhead. The Chiefs laying 2.5. The Chiefs minus 135 on the money line. And the under hits with the total set at 47. Lions come in on a 4-game winning streak, but the Chiefs put that to an end.
Hollywood Brown in motion. He's got on the pump pass. Hollywood Brown to the end zone. Touchdown, KC.
Mike Tirico with the call on NBC. Mahomes throws for 257 yards and 3 touchdowns. Brown with 2 touchdowns on the night to go along with 1 for Xavier Worthy. But after the game, and this is what will dominate the headlines today, a fight breaks out.
Well, altercation going on. I don't know what started it.
Well, Brian Branch was involved in something, and there was a little exchange, and then people came running. I think that was Juju Smith-Schuster who came running into that.
I just glanced up and saw two Chiefs, one Lion, and then, of course, everybody coming on the field at the end of the game. And look, and there is a pretty significant brawl going on here, the back end of that over to the right.
So what caused this melee? Apparently, Brian Branch at the end of the game ignored a high five from Patrick Mahomes. Juju Smith-Schuster saw this, confronted Branch about it, and that led to Branch smacking Smith-Schuster in the face mask. Branch also said after the game he was upset because Smith-Schuster blocked him in the back right in front of a referee. It wasn't called. He apologized, and so did Lions head coach Dan Campbell.
Start with this. I love Brian Branch, but what he did is inexcusable, and it's not going to be accepted here. It's not what we do. It's not what we're about. I apologize to Coach Reed and the Chiefs and Schuster. That's not okay. That's not what we do here, and it's not going to be okay. He knows it. Our team knows it, and so that's not what we do.
That's from the Woodward Sports Network. So sort of lost in all of this is that the Chiefs were pretty dominant in this game, but Brian Branch just kind of lost his mind, and we've kind of seen this before too.
Yeah, so it feels more like a Brian Branch problem as opposed to a Lions problem, because I don't think anybody is looking at Detroit and saying, hey, this team has a culture problem. No team with Dan Campbell as a head coach is going to have a culture problem, and I do think it was the right thing for him to come out and be against this, you know, and say, hey, this is not something that goes on our team. We are sorry. But it does feel like tensions kind of boil over when teams play the Chiefs. And I understand there's going to be a lot of teams and a lot of like conspiracy theorists that watch this game and say, the Chiefs get away with everything yet again. Because for Brian Branch, it was Juju Smith-Schuster and that block that, you know, knocked him over and the refs didn't do anything about it. Or even on the first drive of this game, where the Lions score a touchdown, no flags were thrown, and then they decide to call it back on, like, you know, some ticky-tack thing with Jared Goff. So, Jenks, do you think people have a right to be angry, or at least a right to throw this around? Because I will say at the end of the day, the Chiefs had zero penalties in this game.
I mean, look, it was a very clean game for the Chiefs. No penalties, no turnovers. But ultimately, I understand this adds fuel to the fire, but I also think the Chiefs just outplayed the Lions. So I get the frustration, and I think that if you're Brian Branch and if you're the Lions, if you play into that and you let that frustration get to you and then you act out, then it weakens you, right? That's exactly what the Chiefs mm-hmm. want. So if you want to argue the Chiefs get the calls and it kind of feels like they do, okay, fine, fair enough. But the minute you give that to them and then they get in your heads, then they've kind of got you, right? If you're the Lions and you're Dan Campbell did the right thing, which is saying this is unacceptable. This is not who we are. Go out there and make it about football. Because, look, as many calls as the Chiefs may or may not get, at the end of the day, they got their butts whipped in the Super Bowl. They've been beaten a few times this season. So it's not like they've been getting by on pure smoke and mirrors and calls from the NFL. If you can beat the Chiefs on the football field, you can win. Detroit just didn't do that last night.
Yeah, the Chiefs still scored 30 points. So I understand why people are mad, but like, if you're in the league and your team facing the Chiefs, you have to control what you can control, and you can't control the referees, and you can't let this become part of your mindset, because it's just not going to be helpful. But once again, I feel like the Chiefs' defense was really good. That feels like the more consistent thing. Like, we're seeing the offense for the Chiefs start to perk up, and just in time, because now it feels like they should be back to full strength, Rashee Rice returning to the squad next week. And, like, we knew this from Patrick Mahomes. Like, obviously, he's the face of the league, and he is a great quarterback, so it was only a matter of time before he has, you know, back-to-back really good games. But it just feels like this is a Chiefs team that maybe they're not in like the top five of your power rankings, but Jenks, this is not a team that I'd want to face in the postseason.
No, not at all. And also when you look at the matchup coming in, you know, Detroit was the highest scoring team in the NFL coming into this game, but you sometimes have to dig a little bit deeper and say, okay, but who had they played? The Bears, the Ravens, the Browns, and the Bengals. So you knew they were going to get a tougher matchup going into Kansas City at night against a desperate Chiefs team. And a desperate Chiefs team is a dangerous team. Like, the Chiefs could not afford to fall to what, 2-4? They just could not do it. So the Chiefs were going to break out everything they had to do to win this game. They did that. And so Kansas City is still going to be a force. I still don't think that the Kansas City team that looked like they were going to, you know, back end or put the bookend on a dynasty at the end of last season before that loss to Philly. But it's still Kansas City. It's still Patrick Mahomes. It's still Andy Reid. And they're going to get better, and they are getting better at receivers. So the Chiefs are going to be still formidable. I wouldn't say they're the class of the AFC. I still wouldn't put that sort of crown on them. But there's no question when it comes to the best teams in the league. They're just sort of right there.
Right, and they're 3-3 now, so it feels like maybe they're inching out of the danger zone to missing the playoffs, because I think that's goal number one, is simply get into the postseason. And we've seen the Chiefs, you know, take the road of playing games on the road and winning games on the road, maybe in years where they have been better all around as a team. But, like, again, I don't want to be the team that faces the Chiefs in the postseason just because you know that they have been there and absolutely done that, even for teams like the Bills, who look like the class of the AFC, but you know the history between the Chiefs and the Bills. So it's one of those things that if the Chiefs can just make it to the postseason, I feel like they will be fine.
Yeah, and also the Lions, you know, this is not the way clearly they wanted it to go, but they were really weak in the secondary. It's always interesting to see how teams will get healthier and how teams trend based on what their roster looks like. And last night, they didn't have DJ Reed. They didn't have Terrion Arnold. They didn't have Avante Maddox. When you're without three corners not in the lineup going up against Patrick Mahomes, and again, a desperate Chiefs team at Arrowhead, like, that's just a tough pull for anyone. The Lions are going to be back. They'll have their chances. It just wasn't their best game. And Kansas City, I don't think you can hammer that point home enough. They had to have this one. They just absolutely had to. And honestly, they probably should have won at Jacksonville. Patrick Mahomes made some uncharacteristic mistakes in that game with that 99-yard pick six. It just felt like a good spot for them. But both of these teams are clearly going to be a factor later in the season.
Yeah, and the Lions are still 4-2.
Right.
So, like, the Lions are just fine. They will be fine, especially like, you know, playing in the NFC. It's not a matter of, you know, this AFC matchup. But I will say this about the Chiefs. Do you think, I need to look at the odds, but I would imagine that maybe they're not the favorites. Oh, they are the favorites to win the AFC West. Plus 140, Chargers plus 180, Broncos plus 225. Do you believe in the Chiefs that much? Like right now in the standings, it is the other two teams in the AFC West that have better records. Chargers 4-2, Broncos 4-2, Chiefs 3-3. You think they win that division?
Yeah, I think they do. I would have been on the Chargers, but the Chargers just, and look, they rallied yesterday, got a win against a bad Dolphins team, but ultimately this Chargers offensive line, it's been a real issue for them because you can pressure Justin Herbert now and you can really change the dynamic of that offense. And the Broncos are getting there, but they still don't have what they need, I think, offensively to hang in that division. We saw that yesterday against the Jets. Like, I know the Jets have a pretty decent defense. You should score more than 13 points against the New York Football Jets. So I would have been high on the I was high on the Chargers, but injuries have really started to take their toll, and the Chiefs are going to get better with Rashee Rice. So I feel like now, I mean, before the season, the Chiefs were big-time minus money. Getting the Chiefs at plus money now is not a bad deal.
Yeah, it feels just inevitable. It just feels like the Chiefs are inevitable. Like, every time you see them start a season slow, you're like, yeah, but they'll come back. It's the Chiefs.
Yeah, it is the Chiefs. Like Chiefs welcome the Raiders next Sunday. The Lions host the Buccaneers on Monday Night Football. How about some baseball? Last night in Toronto, the Mariners topped the Blue Jays 3-1. Mariners plus 135 on the money line. Total set at 8, the under hits. Jays get a leadoff home run from George Springer. First pitch of the game. But then the Mariners tie things up in the sixth on Cal Raleigh's second home run of the postseason, and that brings Jorge Polanco to the plate.
It's the 3-2. Polanco rips one to left field, base hit. Rodriguez heads home, and the Mariners have taken the lead.
Call courtesy of Fox. Polanco also adds a run-scoring single in the eighth as part of a 2-for-4 night. Bryce Miller, brilliant on the mound, allows just one earned run over six innings. The Mariners take game one, and it kind of feels like they stole one here.
Absolutely. Feels like they're playing with house money now. You go on the road, and you take game one with one of your starters who's not even one of the top guys in your rotation who pitched an absolute gem last night. You got to be feeling great after what you saw last night. And you continue to see big things from Cal Raleigh, who's not just hitting big dumper home runs. He's also hitting 400 for the postseason. And great numbers in Toronto. We've talked about this. For some reason, he loves playing at the Rogers Center. 9 home runs in 14 career games now for Cal Raleigh when playing in Toronto. So it feels like the Mariners certainly have the momentum here. But this was a close game, and I feel like the series is far from over.
Yeah, this was just huge for Seattle and Bryce Miller. This is only the second time all season he's pitched 6 full innings. He's really struggled. He's the number 5 starter in that rotation. ERA over 5 during the regular season. So here he is, and he comes out. He goes 6 full and retires 17 of the last 19 batters he faces. He also does it on short rest. So this was definitely a spot with Kevin Gausman on the mound for the Blue Jays for the Jays to get a win in that atmosphere at Rogers Center. Unbelievable. When you have your number 5 starter on short rest go into a game and you end up getting a dub, huge for Seattle, which, again, has never won a World Series game, never been to the World Series. And also, the Jays' bats were super hot coming into this game. Vladdy Jr., 9-of-17, 3 home runs, 9 RBI against the Yankees, went 0-for-4 last night. So everything just kind of tends to fall Seattle's way, and that's what we saw last night. This was massive for them.
Right, and it does feel like eventually we will see Toronto kind of break out when it comes to their offense, just because their offense has been so good. And you could say that for both of these offenses, because Seattle came in with the final month of the regular season being the best offense across the board in just about every single metric. So I don't know if we see like a hit parade tonight, because the starting pitcher matchup is actually better tonight with Trey Savage and Logan Gilbert going. But I don't know. It feels like it's going to be a great series. And I like both of these teams. Like you mentioned, it's very easy to root for the Mariners, who have never won a World Series. And also the Blue Jays, because you can tell the entire country is behind Toronto.
I have a couple of friends who are Canadians. And let me tell you, they are just as passionate as we are. They love their teams. I also think it's remarkable that Cal Raleigh is continuing the pace that we saw during a regular season. because if you're a pitcher, you certainly understand that by the end of the year, your arm can get worn out, right? And if you're a batter, it's not necessarily the same, except that Cal Raleigh is a catcher. So that's what makes his home run barrage during the regular season like, oh, my God, how are you doing this and also catching? And you would think if it was going to catch up with him, maybe it would be during the postseason. We just haven't seen that. He's batting 400.
Right, and he's a good overall hitter because, like, that was one of the knocks on him before is that he can hit the long ball, but, like, what's his batting average? His batting average is 400 for the postseason, not just hitting the long ball, but also getting on base.
He's been awesome. Coming up next on the show. Okay, we're going to go back to football. Last time the Bears and Commanders played in D.C., it was a walk-off win for Washington on a Hail Mary. What do these teams have in store for tonight? Also, we got a double dip. Bills in Atlanta taking on the Falcons. We're going to talk about both games. That is coming up on the Daily Tip on BetMGM Network. Stay right there.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Always great to start a new week with you on a Daily Tip. Coming up on the show, the Bills try to bounce back from their loss to the Patriots with a trip to meet the Falcons. We've got that, and Commanders hosting the Bears here in D.C. I'm a little upset that we have two Monday Night Football games tonight. Not because I don't appreciate Monday Night Football, but the afternoon slate yesterday in the NFL, Titans-Raiders, no offense, but Titans-Raiders, Bengals-Packers, Niners-Bucks. That's it. That was the slate yesterday. Why do we need two games on Monday Night Football when we get an afternoon slate like that? We could have used a good game yesterday afternoon. Niners and Bucks was the only decent one on the card.
Ah. All right, so let me ask you this, because I feel like it didn't used to be this way, and I feel like this is a parallel discussion. Like, I understand your complaint.
Yeah.
But for me, the fact that I could only watch one game during the early slate on normal TV, like, we got Steelers-Browns, and that was it. There were so many games going on. I feel like it used to be where it was, like, CBS had AFC and Fox had NFC, and you would at least get two options in the early window, and now you only get one? Like, what's going on? Do you have to get Sunday ticket to fully enjoy the NFL?
I guess so, and I'm not going to do it. I am not going to pay that. It's expensive. That's very expensive.
Right.
Yeah. I'd rather use that money to buy some grub or something or anything. But it's sort of ridiculous where at some point it becomes such a money grab. Like, if you have a, you know, a full card of games on Sunday, okay, fine. You want to have an extra game on Monday Night Football. But yesterday was a perfect example of the NFL just spreading things thin for no real reason. Like, you got games all day and then one decent matchup in the afternoon that you may or may not be interested in. But then we get two games tonight. I'd rather have one of those games on Sunday and then focus on Monday Night Football, one game that we can all watch together. All of us.
Yeah. I get that. Like, here was my viewing schedule yesterday.
Okay.
We had Steelers-Browns in the early window, and then Titans-Raiders. And you're like, could you give us any worse offensive football to watch? Like, what was their, like, combined, like, 40 points in both of those games?
Ugh.
My goodness. Like, I'm trying my hardest to be an NFL fan, but they're like, we're going to stick you with the worst games. And you're right about the stuff on Monday night. Like, I think part of the fun in primetime games is that it is a standalone game. And we can all watch it as a country and react. as opposed to splitting it down the middle. So, like, maybe just have one so we all can, like, focus on that one. Like, that's what you expect from primetime games.
Yeah, and listen, I know you're having trouble with finances, NFL. You'll be okay. Like, they make money hand over fist. You guys will be fine, okay? Just give us the one game. Let us, because even if you're following it, you know, online or on X or whatever, you know, you have like a mishmash of thoughts as opposed to everyone being aligned. Maybe I sound like an old man here, but I appreciate that one night, kind of like Thursday Night Football, where everyone's sort of tuned in and sort of captivated by the one matchup on the schedule.
Yeah, or Sunday Night Football.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's what we expect from primetime matchup is sure. That this is the standalone game. We're all going to watch it, and we're all going to react in real time, because I don't know if you're like this. Even now that we have, like, the split screen, you can still only listen to one of the broadcasts.
Mm-hmm.
So it feels like you're kind of watching the other game, but you don't get, like, the full experience of it.
Yeah, I'm the same way. And now I get the YouTube suggestions like, this game... CNN and Forensic Files. I'm like, I'm not going to do a full match with those right. Choices, guys. Come on. What are we doing here? All football, sure, but I'm not doing that. Let's start with Bills and Falcons tonight. Bills laying for the Bills, -220. The Falcons, +180. Total set at 50. Chelsea, you have a prop. You have a side. I want to lean. I like Commanders Bears better. Obviously, I'm going to be at that game. I'm excited about that game as a Commanders fan. I will lean Bills -4 here, but I'm not crazy about the bets on the card. What about you?
I think this is a tough one because the Falcons fall under that category of teams that don't feel trustworthy to me. Mm-hmm. Like, they certainly have some high-end potential. They almost feel like the Jaguars to me, where, like, okay, it's not going to shock me if they have one game where they look good. And there are some numbers that maybe look good on the surface. When it comes to the Falcons, you look at their pass defenses, it's one of the best in the NFL, mm-hmm. at least statistically speaking, allowing the fewest passing yards of any defense in the NFL. But then you look at their red zone numbers, and they're allowing opponents to score on 60% of their trips to the red zone. How do you think that's going to work out when you have a Bills offense that has James Cook, Josh Allen, Dalton Kincaid, and it's one of the best red zone offenses in the NFL? So I just feel like there's too many holes with the Falcons. Like, maybe they keep it close. And I will say this, the Bills have let some bad teams hang around in games yeah. longer than they should have. We saw the game against the Dolphins, game against the Saints, in which you never felt like the Bills were going to lose the game, but it was close in the fourth quarter. So maybe that's the talking point for taking the Falcons and the points, but it's also not going to shock me that the Falcons lay an egg in primetime. Again, it just feels like a team that's not super trustworthy to me.
Well, you get the Bills coming off a loss, which if you're on the Buffalo side, which I am, and I would lean towards the Bills here, then... You know, them coming off a loss, they're refocused mm-hmm. now. They go down to Atlanta. And also, at least for me, when you're talking about Josh Allen taking on Michael Penix Jr., I have a hard time trusting a guy who's essentially a rookie quarterback. Sure, he's in his second season, but he hasn't played 17 games in his career. So you're never quite sure what you're going to get from a guy who is inexperienced like that, whereas you know what you're going to get from Josh Allen. I really like a James Cook rushing prop here. So his total is set at 71.5. And, yes, the Falcons are exceptional against the pass. Number one in the NFL, they allow just 244 yards a game. So, if I'm Buffalo, I would pivot to the running game, where James Cook has been fantastic this season. He's hit this number in 3 of 5 games. And before last week's 49-yard performance against the Patriots, he had a streak of 108 yards in 3 consecutive games. He's averaging 5 yards a carry. I think we kind of see a lower-scoring game. I know you like the over here. I would lean towards the under. I feel like the Falcons are going to feed Bijan Robinson, and I feel like the Bills might just end up feeding James Cook here. So I'm going to go over 71 on a hook for James Cook.
I think you can make a case for that. Maybe the only sabotage factor is that when offenses are so balanced, like mm-hmm. it feels like the Bills can beat you in any way. And I understand on paper that the Falcons have this great pass defense, but like defending Josh Allen is a different animal. Because mm-hmm. I understand, I've been reading like all of the ways, here's how the Falcons can stop Josh Allen. They can put a spy on the quarterback. Like, don't you think everybody else has tried that? So
right.
It just feels like one of those things where like, okay, we're going to stop him from scrambling. Oh, you're going to let him throw it? Because we know Josh Allen can't do that, right? No, he's the reigning MVP. Mm-hmm. So it's just tough like when it's that type of offense. But I will say this, if there is a window for the Falcons to stay in this game, We have seen this with the Bills defense that, you know, they've given up some points. Because I have no questions about the Bills offense. I feel like no matter who they face, like, they are fully capable of scoring 30 points about just about anybody if they don't have some of those self-inflicted wounds that we saw against the Patriots. Because the Bills' rush defense is still giving up 5.6 yards per carry. Mm-hmm. So then you look at Bijan Robinson, you say, hey, maybe Bijan Robinson has a big night in this one. The only sabotage factor that goes against that is game script. Because sometimes I'm not a huge fan of playing running back props if it's what I think is the losing side. And I do think the Falcons are going to be the losing side. But Bijan Robinson has had a pretty high floor, 75, 72, 143 yards in his last three games. So I do think they're going to feed Bijan Robinson. This is a good offense until they get to the 20s. They're not good in the red zone, so maybe don't bank on them scoring. But I do think Bijan Robinson has a pretty solid night on the ground. Maybe you dumb it down a little bit and put it in a same-game parlay or something. But I think he can get at least 70 yards. His number is 75.5. I think it's definitely worth a look.
Yeah, I like that as well. And also, when it comes to the Falcons secondary, I think we're going to find out a lot about how good that secondary is. Like I mentioned, the Lions previously, where they just been running up the score, but they've been doing it against bad teams like the Bengals, the Browns, the Bears, right? Then they run into a really good defense and they get slowed down a little bit. How good is the Falcons secondary? I don't know. Like Baker Mayfield threw three touchdowns against them. They shut down J.J. McCarthy. They didn't really slow down Bryce Young. They got shut out 30-0 in Carolina. And then Marcus Mariota had some sort of success against them in Atlanta. So Josh Allen is clearly a cut above when it comes to the quarterbacks they have faced thus far. It makes me wonder about how good that defense is. We're going to find out. We're also going to find out if the Bears can get some revenge on the Commanders after what happened last year. The old Hail Noah. The Hail Mary here in D.C. where the Commanders walked off with a win. Commanders laying 5.5. That is up from 3.5 at BetMGM. Commanders minus 250. Bears 2-1 on the money line. Total set at 50.5. I like the Commanders at 3.5. I don't know how I feel about them at 5.5, Chelsea. What say you?
I think it's going to be tough for the Bears if the Commanders can establish the run. And so far, it feels like everybody has been able to establish the run against the Bears. They're giving up 6.2 yards per carry. That is the worst mark in the NFL, and we've seen what Bill Kroski-Mary has been doing for the Commanders. And when you have somebody like Jaden Daniels, who I know it doesn't look like he's 100%, but like it feels like he's well enough to lead this offense, especially against a leaky Bears defense. So my only question would be, Jenks, how much do you trust the Commanders defense?
Well, that is the big question, right? I think this is going to be a high-scoring game. I really do. And the thing about the Commanders defense is that while the secondary has shown signs of improvement, they have also shown the ability to give up the big play. Like, you can score on the Commanders, particularly in one-on-one situations. Can Caleb Williams take advantage of that? I don't know. The one thing that Washington did very good last week is that the Chargers would drive on them, and then they would get critical turnovers, you know, inside the red zone, and that really saved them. I think they can do that tonight. And also, even against this Commanders secondary, I'm not quite so sure how much I trust Caleb Williams yet. He took a huge step forward against the Cowboys a couple weeks ago, and the Bears have had an extra week off, but also that Cowboys secondary is trash. Ben Johnson calling plays, Caleb Williams against the secondary, he will have success. But throughout the course of a game, I also feel like Caleb Williams could make an error or two, even if it's unforced, that ends up being the difference.
Okay, so I'm building my same game parlay because it's a primetime game. You know I want a same game parlay. So first leg, and I think we both like this, 50 plus rushing yards for Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt, and then you combine it with either, I'm going to give you two options, Commanders money line, or we go with a dumbed down total. So which do you feel more confident in? The fact that like maybe we'll see a lot of points in this one, or the fact that the Commanders win?
That's a good question. I just feel like the Commanders are going to win this game. They're at home. They got a huge win against the Chargers, and JD5 is back. Like, Jaden Daniels took about a quarter to settle in against L.A., and then he really got it going. And honestly, he'll be even healthier this week. I don't know if he's going to wear that brace or not. He probably will out of, you know, just a precautionary stance from the team. But I'm, you know, the Bears, the Bears are showing improvement in fits and starts. I just think the Commanders are a better overall team. And honestly, if you like the Commanders on the money line, the money is moving in their direction, right? The number has moved from 3.5 to 5.5. So I'm going to take Bill and his rushing prop plus Commanders money line. Depending on where you want to get Bill, you can get that at plus money or minus money if you want to go 50-plus yards or 60-plus yards.
Yeah, 50-plus, and the Commanders money line is minus 130. So at the same price, you could get Bill Kroski Merritt 50-plus or over 42.5. That's one minus 130 as well. Or you could combine them all, Jenks, for plus 132. So if you want to thread the needle, I feel like that's a solid play.
Chelsea, do it. I mean, you're the parlay queen on this show. You going to put that in? Stir the pot. The same game parlay. Do it.
But that's part of the fun of primetime games, Jenks, is I feel like I can really hone in on one game, which we're just kind of throwing the other game away. But I love same game parlays. Like, why would you not craft one? Because I know we talk about like making sharp bets in the plus EV money moves, but like sometimes it's just fun to have parlay. So I'm going to have one.
Yeah, as long as you have the right expectation, which is this is probably not going to hit most of the time, but there are times when it does, always feels good. And also, isn't it fun to have multiple bets during a primetime game? Like, you can keep up with them all the while one game is going on. That's half the fun.
I asked this the other day to somebody, I forget who. Who do you think is the most miserable to watch a game with? Somebody who's betting on the under or somebody who has a player prop who's simply rooting for, like, one player? Like, that can be pretty obnoxious as well.
That's true. Like, why are you throwing to Roma Dunze? Throw it to, he's open. It's like, dude, that was a running play. It's a first down, okay? They got 5 yards. They're trying to win a game here. I was going to say the under, but you might be right. Because sometimes you can get a defensive battle and it's still good football. You don't necessarily have to have offense for it to be a great game, but just yelling for one guy to get all the touches at the expense of everyone else. I think you may be right about that. Well, which one of these bets is going to make the card for us? Maybe multiple. We got baseball as well. New week of wagers ready to go. And the Dongster. What's going on with him after the weekend? It's Chelsea Messenger. I'm Michael Jenkins. Best bets coming up next on the Daily Tip. Great to have you with us on a Monday. Stay right there.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Here we go, back on a Monday. Hey, baseball tonight. Two games on the schedule, two games on Monday Night Football as well. Let's go. Appreciate you waking up with us. We are live across the country Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. East. I'm Jake, she's Chelsea. That's what's coming up. Dongster as well. Chelsea, you got a big morning at Texas Roadhouse from last night on the docket, locked and loaded.
Ah, yes. This is my only activity for the day, is that we had the family feast from Texas Roadhouse, which we have mentioned many a time on the show already. So I will be having a full-on spread for breakfast slash lunch. And I was just telling you this, that I feel like I can eat like lunch foods after the show because we've been awake for a long time and it feels like lunch to me. But I understand some people hold breakfast like very holy in their heart. Yes. And they're like, listen, if it's before the hours of 10:30, we got to have breakfast. I'm not one of those people. Mm-hmm. I feel like once you've been up for 5 hours, You can eat lunch foods if you really want to.
D-Day is shaking his head. I would rather have breakfast, but I'll eat anything. You want to chime in here for the breakfast folk?
Breakfast sandwich king right here. I don't care what time of day it is, I will devour a breakfast sandwich.
1,000%. I'm going to go home and make myself a breakfast sandwich. I'm not just saying that. That's exactly what I'm going to go do. And you know I don't cook. I mean, I'm a terrible cook, but I'm going to do it.
See, I'm not anti-breakfast. It's just that I think you could do both at this time of day. Like, the argument I'm making, is that, like, my ideal situation would be, like, a brunch buffet where you can choose both. Honestly, I feel like that's the best buffet of, like, all time, is when you can do breakfast foods, but also, like, get a little, like, the high-dollar meat. Because you don't get that if it's just a breakfast buffet. It's like, here's some bacon and some old eggs. But if it's a brunch buffet, you might have some prime rib.
High dollar meat. That's the way to go.
Mm.
You have some meat left over. And then you... steak and eggs? You know, you could do that. I mean, a steak will last 2-3 days easy. Keep that ready to go. Switch it up. Maybe that's Tuesday. I'm just throwing it out there.
But then I would have to cook the eggs.
Oh,
and here's the thing.
God,
with all of the lunch sides, I simply put them on a plate and put them in the microwave. So I don't know about you, but I am ravenous after this show. To the point where if I make eggs, I have to have a snack while I'm making the eggs. Like, I have to have, like, a block of cheese or something.
A block of cheese. A whole block of cheese? A whole wheel of cheese? Well, I don't blame you.
Those little squares.
Oh, okay. That's good. I was like, wow, you got a whole wheel of cheese, Chelsea. Well, you know, if you're hungry, you're hungry. You do your thing. Come next on Bet Sweats, Joe O and Sammy P. I can't wait to hear what they have to say about Penn State firing James Franklin. Wow, still hard to believe. Then Jason Lockenfora is along at 10 o'clock. All right, here we go. We've talked about it. Now it's time to be about it and hand out our favorite plays of the night.
Time to place your bets.
Okay, Chelsea, get us started.
All right, best bet of the day is going to be the first five under four runs between the Mariners and the Blue Jays. We saw last night that it was a low-scoring affair, and I understand that both of these offenses certainly have high-end potential, but I think this is going to be the best pitching matchup of this entire series. What we've seen from Trey Yosavage of the Blue Jays is nothing but absolute gas. Like, we saw it against the Yankees. Even on the road at Yankee Stadium in a playoff environment, this 22-year-old pitched his absolute best. 5 1/3 hitless innings with 11 punchouts. And here's the other thing. I feel like he has the advantage over the Mariners hitters simply because the Mariners haven't seen him before. Like, last night, we knew that Cal Raleigh had great numbers against Kevin Gausman. It's not going to be one of those things where it's like, hey, I've seen his stuff before. No, Trey Yosavage only pitched 3 regular season games because he is a rookie. Then you look at the other side of the coin, Logan Gilbert has been him in the postseason. 8 innings with a 1.13 ERA. And plus, it just feels to me like these playoff games play so close to the vest that, you know, if either of these guys struggle, feels like the leash is going to be short, but I trust both of these pitchers. Best pitching matchup, it feels like, of the series to me. So first five under four for -102, this feels like a great play.
Yeah, I love that. I'm going to go under 4 1/2 at -145. Your number is better if you don't want to lay that much juice. Totally understand that. I think worst case scenario, you probably end up with a push and you savage. I think the only sabotage factor is, will he be overwhelmed by the moment? But man, he went to the Bronx and shut down the Yankees. So I just don't think it's going to happen. And Gilbert has pitched 7 straight games where he's given up 2 runs or less. So I'm with you. Let's go under in the first five.
Yeah, I just added this one as a squad play because I saw it on your card and I was like, this is too good of a play not to play. So it's going to be a squad play. The Dodgers in the first five on the money line at -145 against the Brew Crew. The Brewers are going to go with an opener. Maybe they go to Quinn Priester after this, but you cannot ignore what Blake Snell has been doing down the stretch. If you look at his last game against the Phillies, 6 innings of 1-hit ball with no earned runs and 9 strikeouts. And we've seen this from Blake Snell. He's had at least 9 strikeouts in back-to-back postseason games. And even dating back to the regular season, when Blake Snell is dialed in, he's absolutely dialed in. I know there were stretches of the season this far that, you know, he hasn't looked like somebody who's won a Cy Young, but now he does. This is not a pitcher I want to fade today, and this is certainly not a Dodgers lineup that I ever want to fade, especially in the postseason. Because I know the Brewers have great regular season numbers, but this Dodgers lineup turns it on when it comes to the postseason. Even guys further down the lineup, like Kike Hernandez, are always good for a clutch hit. So I'm going to go with the Dodgers on the first five money line with you, Jinx, at minus 145.
Yeah, I just can't deny how good Blake Snell has been. And I got a little concerned when I looked at his home versus road splits, because on the road this season, 0-3 with a 4.30 ERA. However, that doesn't include what he did against the Phillies in the NLCS, where he just shut them down. And also, if you look at him, you know, he was injured for much of the season. And sometimes it takes a pitcher a little bit to sort of round into form. Now he's rounding into form, which is why he's been so good. ERA of under 2, 1.38 in the postseason. I can't ignore what he did against Philly. And I think we see more of the same tonight. So I'm with you. Dodgers first five money line, minus 145. And the Dodgers are, going back to the regular season, the third best first five team in all of baseball. So they tend to generate runs early. I think that happens tonight. I do have a bet on Monday Night Football. Let's do this. Bill Kroski Merritt, 50 plus rushing yards plus Commanders money line is minus 130. If you want to go Bill 60 plus yards and Commanders money line, that is plus 120. If you want some plus money there, this number has skyrocketed in the props market. So this opened with Kroski Merritt sitting at 63.5 rushing yards. It's at 70.5 now, which is absolutely stupid. But the reason why is that this is true strength versus true weakness. The Commanders average more yards per carry than any team in the National Football League, the best rushing team. The Bears have the worst rushing defense in the NFL. They allow more than 6 yards per carry. Look at what Bill did last week against the Chargers. That was his real coming out party. 14 carries, 111 yards, 2 touchdowns. Most carries he has had all season. I think he's going to be fed even more tonight. He will be the key for the Commanders. And even though Washington likes to talk about running back by committee, they've also said if a guy gets hot or we go throughout the season, we will keep feeding the guy who gives us the best chance to win. Bill is that guy. As for the Commanders on the money line, this number opened at Commanders minus 3. Liked it there. Don't like it at Commanders minus 5.5, which is where it sits now. So money coming in on Washington. Ultimately, I think the Commanders can take advantage of the Bears on the ground. I'm not quite sure I trust Caleb Williams just yet, despite that really good performance against Dallas. And this is a revenge spot for the Commanders. Make no mistake. I know this is going to trickle down throughout the team. They all know the Commanders interviewed Ben Johnson for their head coaching job before Dan Quinn. Commanders brass was in the air on their way to Chicago. Ben Johnson would not pick up the phone. That is disrespectful. I'm telling you, this team, this franchise, has not forgotten about that. They had the momentum after last week's win against the Chargers. Let's go, Bill. 50 plus rushing yards, Commanders money line, minus 130.
Ah, and it's correlated. That's good for same game parlays, because obviously you're going to run the ball more if your team is winning, which is part of the parlay. So we like it.
All right. I was going to say we like the doctor, do we? I don't know. We got to check it regardless. He is a part of this show, sort of. Doctor, good morning.
I want to apologize for hitting Dylan. That's not who we are.
You hit Dylan?
Well, I wanted to, and I definitely thought about it.
Well, why would you think about doing that?
No real reason. I just feel like I've been soft on the show, and that's why I'm having trouble with the ladies. So everyone should know I can be a real bad boy. You don't have to provoke me, and I'm willing to go to jail.
Oh, well, new you, Donkster. Okay. Do you have a bet?
I do. Dodgers, money line, minus 150 against Milwaukee.
Okay. That's over. Oh, look at this. Just in time. Joe, good morning. What did you think when James Franklin got the axe? This is not something that would have been on my bingo card before the season started.
Funny enough, throughout the week, we were saying, but it was more a joking manner, because I was like, they can't lose back-to-back games as a 20-plus point favorite. But if they do, he's got to go. He's got to go. 3 in a row. And it finally happened. I think there were enough people fed up with the lack of performance against top five, top 10 teams. So I was watching the end of that game. I couldn't believe it, because I've seen enough Northwestern to know that that is not. Those are two brutal teams to go back to back. He had to go, but $50 million? Okay. Right. You better make an upgrade. Good luck, man. So, yeah, shocked by that.
How much faith do you have in the Bears tonight? And that defense is giving up 6.2 yards per carry to opposing running backs.
I have been torn on this game all week. And I don't... I'm at a point where I don't know why this line is moving. Like, it started, went up a full point yesterday to 5.5. 5.5? I think that's a bit much. It feels like we're getting into that territory. I am not a Bears backer by any means. You guys know that. We're getting healthier. I want to see what Ben Johnson has after preparing for 2 weeks. I think the game's kind of close.
Yeah, I agree. Early, I lean Washington, but now it's too many points. Joe, oh, have a great show. Good to see you as always. And we're out of time for this edition of the Daily Tip on the BetMGM Network for the entire crew and Chelsea Messenger. I'm Michael Jenkins. Good luck in your bets. Have a great Monday.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.